Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Great mind. Really good perspective on the sport. Gary, welcome back, buddy. How you been, man? What's going on? You staying safe?
I am staying safe. I've gone from somebody who lives on the road in the month of March to a stay-at-home father for a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. So if I'm being honest, stay-at-home dad is a much more stressful job than talking about basketball and writing about basketball. But I am getting some good family time, and fingers crossed, staying safe. I hope you guys are doing the same.
We are. I was going to ask you real quick, do your kids like you still?
Well, my 17-year-old is real up in the air at this point, because he's obviously doing online high school right now, and that has been a weird adjustment for both he and his teachers. The little ones seem to still dig me, but man, trying to – and listen, any father out there with young children, we have 3 children. We had one, my wife and I, when we were too young. He's now 17. Uh-huh. We had 2 when we were too old. They're now 63. So we didn't plan this very well, but any father of children right now who's staying at home with them will tell you, trying to work or maintain some level of normalcy while also, you know, juggling what you're juggling around the house, it's a task, man. I've always had an appreciation for stay-at-home parents, but it has grown remarkably over the past 3 weeks, because I am overwhelmed.
Yeah, no, it gets that way, especially when you have to school them as well. Those are for your younger ones, because that's how the boat that we and my wife are in. Thankfully, she's a good teacher, because I just take them out to play. She teaches, and so we're all good. We all don't cry too much here.
Yeah, my wife has got the little ones. She works on the reading and the writing, and I mostly am in charge of practicing Mario Kart with them.
That's the best thing to do. Mario Kart is the best way to go. Gary, you know, we saw this news come down from the NCAA regarding the spring sports getting an extra season of eligibility. They, you know, before we get to the merits of that, they declined to do it for the winter sports, which you kind of get. Most of the seasons were done anyways. But there's a couple that are just left in limbo, like men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments. Ice hockey, I guess, falls in that as well. But, you know, it feels empty and it feels frustrating. Should they have extended it to the winter sports, at least the for-profit ones, because so much money was lost by the NCAA?
I guess I would say I would not have objected if they did, but I understand why they didn't, because I was somebody, you know, 3 weeks ago who was hoping that they would postpone the NCAA tournament as opposed to cancel the NCAA tournament. But, you know, given the benefit of the hindsight now, we understand why they canceled and didn't postpone. We're not going to be, you know, having basketball games in this country or football games or anything else. It doesn't appear anytime soon. I don't know if you guys saw, but Toronto just banned all public events till June 30th.
Yeah, I mean, we said that.
That's a long time from now. Mm-hmm. And so it is unfortunate and it is disappointing. But the truth is, the NCAA was put into an impossible situation. It seems clear at this point they did the right thing. And as it relates to whether or not seniors should have been allowed to come back, again, I wouldn't have objected to it, but I understand why they didn't do it. And the truth is, most of the Power 5 coaches that I talked to, they didn't want that anyway. They thought the seniors that they would like to keep would probably be ready to go no matter what. And the seniors, and that would leave them stuck in theory with the ones they didn't want back anyway.
Yes.
So I think once the college coaches, basketball at the very least, made it pretty well known to their athletic directors and their conference commissioners, we don't want the seniors to come back. It's more trouble than it is good.
Yeah.
And it was never going to pass. I wasn't surprised yesterday when that one didn't pass.
No, neither was I. But so Gary, are you saying that the reason or the main reason that it wasn't passed is because of the not so much that they – well, let me frame it this way. Let's say that the basketball season only accumulated before the plug was pulled with the virus, say, you know, 9 or 10%, which is roughly the baseball and softball equivalent. Would we have the same result, or was that – would the sentiments of the coach still have won out at that point?
Yeah, I think at that point we probably would have handled it the way we're handling spring sports. But given that some – players, some senior seasons were actually over, like completely in the books, it was always going to be a little difficult to figure out exactly where do you draw the line. Do you let all seniors come back if they want, even the ones whose seasons were over? Do you only let the ones whose seasons weren't over come back? And if so, are we really drawing the line because some conference tournaments are a week earlier than others? It was just a messy situation, and I think one with a lot of unintended consequences. For instance, imagine you're, and I just use this as one hypothetical, but it's a young man named A.J. Hoggard, who's a top 75 player in the class of 2020. He's a point guard, and he's going to Michigan State. And I wasn't involved in those recruiting meetings, but I'm confident part of it was Cassius Winston is our point guard now.
Yep.
He's a senior. He leaves. You come in. You're our starting point guard from day one. Well, then suddenly the NCAA says Cassius Winston can come back if he wants. Cassius Winston comes back. Now you've just taken an incoming freshman and put him on the bench when he thought he was going to be starting for one of the best programs in America. There was a whole lot of that kind of stuff involved.
Yeah.
Plus, it's an expensive proposition, and that's why they decided to – that and many other reasons is why they decided to just say, hey, this is unfortunate. We feel sick about it, but we're going to call that a completed season.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for everybody to move on.
So that's Gary Parrish, CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Gary with us here on Tiki and Tierney. The summer action is a big thing, is a big chance to shoot up. You just mentioned the player who's top 75 player for 2020. That's really when you elevate, not so much during the high school season, but a lot of these jumps, as you know, these monster jumps in the rankings, somebody surging into the top 100, somebody surging into the benchmark top 50, somebody goes from 4-star to 5-star. A lot of that happens during the summer, and who knows what kind of summer action we're getting. So the recruiting, laboratory has been equally compromised, or probably will be compromised, correct?
Well, it has definitely already been compromised because there are spring Nike and Adidas events that have already been suspended. You know, they'll try to play them at some point, but who knows if they're going to be able to do that. And again, if Toronto, a city of that size, has already decided we don't think it's going to be safe to gather till at least July 1st, then how are we going to have the normal July recruiting period here in the United States? I'm not ruling anything out. I'm not a scientist. But based on what the scientists are saying, yes, coaches are skeptical that they're going to have any sort of traditional recruiting time, evaluation time, and that's tough. I talked to a college basketball coach last night. He's got 4 scholarships right now to fill in the class of 2020. He doesn't know what to do with them because he can't go see players. He can't have players come see him. He said he had a mother of a prospect last week ask if they could just drive to campus, and he had to tell her, I'm not allowed to do that right now. And so what he told me, this college basketball coach, is he said, ultimately, I'm probably going to offer this kid a scholarship, but here's the truth. I've never seen him play in person.
Wow.
I've never met him in person. I've never met his parents in person. I'm strictly working off of film and conversations I've had with people who have seen him in person. And this coach, from that, assumed that he and other coaches all over America are going to be making some mistakes because you just don't get the normal FaceTime and in-person time. You're not getting that right now. Nobody's getting that right now.
You know, Gary, does that stand to reason then that some of these, you know, bigger programs are going to benefit while the smaller ones could get crushed right now?
Oh, I would assume so, because you know, at a place like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, there is, you know, everybody that you would even consider recruiting is somebody that you've seen a bunch, or a lot of people have seen a bunch. It's the mid majors and the low majors that are trying to find, you know, under recruited guys, sort of off the radar guys. And how do you find off the radar prospects in March, April, May if you can't go out to events in March, April, May? And so I know the coaches are having a lot of conversations with recruiting analysts, with various AAU coaches. Hey, is there anybody available who you think might be able to help me? Because in the ways that they would normally go out and figure that out for themselves, they're just it's not a possible thing right now. They have no idea when they're going to be able to get back on a plane, get into a gym, and evaluate in person.
Who is the best team this year? I think Kansas is the easy answer and the common answer. Who do you think was going to win the championship?
I would have probably, in my bracket, picked Gonzaga to win the whole thing. But based on the way the season unfolded, whether you'd go by the eyeball test or the metrics or the accomplishments, Kansas was going to be the number one overall seed in the tournament, and Kansas was probably the best team in the country. They had an All-American-level point guard in Devon Dodson, an All-American-level center in Udoka Azubuike. You know, they were top five in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, had more quadrant one wins than anybody else in the country, had four more wins inside the first two quadrants than anybody else in the country. But they still would, like, if you gave me the field or Kansas, I would take the field. It's not like they were a sure thing. Almost nobody, probably nobody's ever a sure thing. And to me, that's the most disappointing about what happened. I understand why it had to happen, but, you know, like, Bill Self had an opportunity to join a very short list of people who have won multiple national championships. Now that's just a missed opportunity. But here's the thing. If you're Bill Self in Kansas, you can probably always reasonably assume you'll have another great team again sometime soon. The ones I get sick for is like Dayton.
Yeah.
Like, when is Dayton ever going to have the national player of the year, projected top five
Never.
Pick, and be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament? That's probably a once in a, you know, generation type thing. And they didn't get to see it play out. Those are the fans and the players I feel sick for, because it was really a unique situation they were in. Dayton, San Diego State, teams that usually can't reasonably think they could win a national title, had a real shot this year and then just never got to pursue it.
Even Seton Hall, even though they were at a better conference, but Seton Hall had a real renaissance year. And I feel you, very good points about the great stories that got squashed without coming to fruition. Gary, I want to throw this by you. And let's go to our friend Gary Parrish. Of course, he's got a show out in Memphis every day. I believe it starts in a couple of minutes, so we'll let you go after this. But we all saw the report a couple of days ago about the Grizzlies owner inquiring, kicking the tires about a possible move. I believe he did that last year, just trying to get some answers for the future of his franchise. What is the on the ground? What's the response there? And really, I always thought Memphis was a fairly viable NBA market. Is there a chance they leave? What's going to happen here?
Well, I would say that report came from a former beat writer at the Commercial Appeal, which is one of the daily newspapers here.
Yep.
And when I talked to people connected to the franchise, they shot that down really quickly. To put it in the plainest terms, they called the report, you know, quote, complete BS. And so,
Gary, hold on. Don't they have to do that for their fans? How could they have to put that out there? Otherwise, why would people buy season tickets?
I'm sorry, guys, you broke up really badly on me.
I almost feel like they have to put that messaging out there, because if they don't, why would people buy season tickets for a team that might move?
There is a scenario where they could move someday, but right now, the way the contract with FedEx Forum is written, it makes it very, very difficult. I guess I'd bottom line it this way. I would never say that in 100 years the Grizzlies are going to be here. You just don't know.
Yeah.
But the perception from people around the franchise and inside, you know, that building is that there is no serious consideration to leaving any soon. And honestly, like, a big reason for that may end up being the selection and development of Ja Morant, because it appears now with that young core, the Grizzlies are going to be very good, or at least reasonably good, for a very long time. And that obviously helps in every way you could help make a franchise profitable and unwilling to want to even move.
Well, you would certainly know better than us. Great information, Gary. Good chat. Stay healthy. Enjoy being around the kids. The answer is a lot of scotch at night. And, and hang in there, buddy. Thank you, Gary.
I appreciate you, Gary. Stay safe. I'll talk to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.